Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. This is your host, Kem, your faithful host, and I'm back with another guest for today. Aside from all the technical difficulties we've been having today, which I don't need to let you guys know about, I just want you to know that it's a real process. Even though we're working through online difficulties, we try to get together and have meaningful conversations. And so today we're going to have a meaningful conversation about writing, about a new author, a new book, meaningful subjects. So please, Diana Alejandrina, please let us know who you are. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you. I already loved you from our IG Live, so love your power, love your presence. So hi, everybody. My name is Diana Alejandrina. I am a Dominican poet, writer, and spoken word artist. I was born in Dominican Republic and then moved to the United States when I was 13 in 2009. I love writing. I've been writing since I was a young girl, probably around the age of 9. I used to see my dad write and read and my mom as well. So it kind of just stuck with me. Yeah, I kind of just write from my experiences and what I feel and connections that I have with people. And just a free flowing type of writer.
Awesome. Thank you. Welcome. The way that me and Diana have met was through Instagram. And it was such an interesting story because I was going to reach out to her one day, just asking her if she would be interested in writing for Wellspring Words. And then I thought, oh, no, she's got things going on. It seems like she has a book coming out. Let me just let her do her thing. And then the next day she reached out to me asking if I would be part of her on her virtual book tour, which is such a cool idea these days to have a virtual book tour. And it makes so much sense. And it got me thinking about Wellspring Words and what I'm doing with the platform and how we're able to support writers. So I was like totally about it, totally in it. And we did an IG Live. So like if you are on Instagram at the same time that you're listening to this, you can check out the IG Live that that we did together in beginning of June, on the Wellspring Words Instagram page, where we talked about so many things, and she did a reading of some of her poems from her new book. But please tell us about this book. Let's start with that. Let's start with your book, Agridulce, and tell us about like why you wanted to publish a book of poetry and prose, and what this work means to you since it's your first book.
Right. So I always had the dream of writing a book. I think it was just all an inspiration from how much I saw my dad read and how into book he was and just the pride he took and what he learned from the books. I said, you know, one day I would like to publish a book with whatever I feel. I didn't know at first that it was exactly going to be poems. Because, you know, we write about anything and everything. It could have been a story. It could have been a poetry book like it is now. But this book is pretty much a representation of emotions. That's the way I want people to look at it. Because I talk about so many different emotions that we experience as we connect with people and go through our own journey in life. And this book is for people to understand that to live is to embrace the sweet and the sour in life, which is exactly the title of the book. Agridulce pretty much means sweet and sour. And that's what the book represents. It starts with lo agrio, which is the sour. And it's a story of poems, whether it is heartbreak, loss, feeling disconnected from yourself, or even emotional abuse. So it covers a lot of different topics. And it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic type of things. So that's also why I take so much pride into this book. Then the next section starts with a bit of healing. So we move from that to healing, to getting to know yourself, love yourself, discover yourself. And it's a different type of love. Like I said, it's a love connection with ourselves. And then it also has poems that you can interpret as a love connection with somebody else. So the book is divided into those two sections. And yeah, it's honestly a representation of what I've been through and people that I have connected with. It doesn't have to be just necessarily romantic, like I said. It's experiences and lessons. And I just hope that people can learn from it or connect with it.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I wrote down a note here about the work that you're writing, especially about love, not necessarily only being about romantic love. And it's interesting to have to disclaim that it's not about romantic love necessarily. Like, it can be interpreted that way, but it's not from the outset mm-hmm. about romantic love. In some of the work that I write too, I write about love a lot. I love writing about love, and I love writing music about love and singing about love. And if I look at my own romantic experiences, they don't necessarily mimic what I'm writing about, you know, but there's that way of like looking at the love that we have for ourselves or that we can have for ourselves mirrored in the relationships that we have with other people. And, right. mm-hmm. and it's nice to remember that. And I'm hoping that we get to a point as a society someday, or maybe we've gotten to that point, but it's a generational thing. So maybe in our generation, when we get a little bit older and have more experience, we can really come to terms with this idea of love just being everywhere, mm-hmm. like really exactly. just feeling it around us, and it not having to put a disclaimer like, yeah, I'm talking about love, or I love talking about love, but not about romantic love. I don't want to just fall in love with you, because you know, sometimes it's like that. You meet
yeah people. No, I completely understand. Yeah. I actually find it interesting, because I like to think that I love everybody. Like, I love everybody, even if I don't know you. I don't have, and that's I feel like that's what doesn't allow other people to really see and connect with individuals for who they are, because there's always something there that you point out that you don't like, that you don't love, that you dislike. And there isn't that like ability to love, like to really love. And if we were to get there, it would be so much easier for people to connect and to relate to everybody's like pain, even if you haven't been through it, at least to acknowledge it and be present with that person, because it doesn't have to be a romantic connection to feel love. I mean, that's what I think. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. And the romanticism is a whole different layer of love. Like, it doesn't have to, in my opinion as well, like, it doesn't really have a connection to love in the way that we're talking about love. And I find from my own experience and just in retrospect and looking at, you know, others and even just pop culture and media, we cannot love other people the way that we haven't loved ourselves, right? These are things that we say in different ways all the time. Like, you cannot give unless your cup is full or overflowing with mm-hmm. love, or, you know, like, you cannot meet people intimately if you have not met yourself intimately. But it goes the same mm-hmm. thing with love and acceptance. Like, you can't truly love other people and accept their, you know, their traumas, their faults, quote unquote, you know, like all the things that you don't necessarily like about them. You can't love them. You may not like them, but you can't love them unless you have seen yourself and accepted yourself and forgiven yourself for things that you may not even like about yourself. And when I say I've noticed mm-hmm. that from my own experience, like, it was hard. It's hard
it's
to,
crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to just say like, yeah, I'm in that space where I don't fully love myself. To admit that, oh shit, that's a game changer.
Yeah,
admit that you don't really, is. Yeah, that you have to move forward from that. And
or you don't like somebody, but it's because they're actually doing something that you're scared of doing. Like, you're just projecting your insecurities and you wishing you could be doing that or be as open or be as given, and you just having that inner bottle. And that's why you feel like you don't like that person. But it's perhaps you haven't come into like terms with the person inside of you. So whenever you see other people doing things that you may want to do and you don't have the courage to, or being as free as you wish to be, you know, you start feeling some type of way. And that's all like an inner battle thing.
It's an inner battle thing, for sure. It's an inner battle thing. It's hard to recognize that, even though it's pretty obvious sometimes when like you meet somebody who's like off, let's just use the example that you gave, like living their life and like, you know, being super open-hearted and everything. And you recognize that you have a wall up by your heart and you can't let people in, or you can't give love freely. And so you just say, oh, that person is just like way too open. Like, they just let everybody in. They're going to get hurt. You know, like they're going to get themselves vulnerable and all these things. But it's like, yeah, maybe you should have a look at yourself, because we're all doing things differently. We're all reacting mm-hmm. differently in this world. We all have a different mission on earth and like a different perception of reality. So there's not going to be a singular time where we meet another person who operates just like us in the way that
just
we
like
and, mm-hmm. and yeah, sees the world in the way that we do and just like feels comfortable with that. So we have to get used to things being different. We have to get used to looking at somebody and seeing some sort of reflection of ourselves in that person. That's the way that I've been seeing things lately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the way to go. I mean, like, you learn, and this is why I've been through so many things that there was a point, and I think I might have mentioned it whenever we were having our lives, but there was a point where I thought that I needed to change who I was and how much I care about people or was able to connect with people because I'd been hurt. And I wanted these walls, and I was like, well, I'm foolish. You know, I let people in too quickly. I just become too vulnerable and want to help them. But it's okay for me to give people a home where they can heal if I'm able to. If I'm able to give that and provide that, it doesn't have to be, again, going back to the romanticism, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be anybody, because that's just who I am. I feel like maybe I do attract people that are hurt at times. It could be a friendship. It could be somebody that just wants to vent to me because they say, hey, you look like somebody I could talk about this. And that actually makes me feel just fine, accepting that I don't have to turn around and be somebody different. So whenever I look at somebody and I feel some type of way, I try to really understand what it is that is making me feel that way and just reflect. A lot of people just don't take the time to do that.
Yeah, it's true. They don't. And obviously that reflection that you've done on yourself and are continuing to do is what's showing up in this book. And I'm hopeful that when people are able to read this book, and not just the book, because this is not the only place that you have your work, you have it all over your Instagram and other places that you've been published as well. When people take the time to read your work, they can see your reflection in the work that you've written, because it's very clear. There's no doubt about the fact that you've been an introspective person, and you're reflecting, you're thinking about the ways that things work and putting language to certain thoughts and emotions that sometimes the language doesn't even do it justice, but you try. You try anyway. Yeah. And that's what we do as writers. We try to put language to, because we have the capacity and the vocabulary to be able to do that. And so we try to do it because it's hard to get our thoughts out in this world. It's hard to find a sense of resonance and understanding with other people, other souls, without like doing our very best to put the words to it. So when people struggle with communication in this way, not that I'm the one who's policing the way that people act with themselves at all, but when it comes to, you know, this level of introspection that people have or don't have, sometimes we don't have the language to be able to do the introspective. We don't feel safe doing it. We don't feel like it's worth the time. There have been so many moments with friends in the past where I've always been a deep person myself. So I've been like introspective a lot and trying to have deep conversations with people for forever. But in the past, I would find when trying to initiate these conversations with friends, like, oh, that's deep. We're going to go there. Oh, I know the work is hard, but I don't want to do it. And I'm like, okay, so I see how you feel about it. You know, like I see how you feel about it, but it's true. It's work. Mm-hmm. It is work. It is work. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I've been there.
Yeah. Tell me how you feel about your journey now after having put this book together. I know the work is ongoing, but is there a sense of maturing or change after all of this reflection and putting the work together and going through this book tour where you have to talk about it so many different times? Yeah. Tell me about that.
It's definitely something I try to have fun with, you know, to communicate. And I feel like every time I have this book tours, I say something different, but then it resonates. This whole book has been, I feel like it has been a teacher to me, because just going over and over as many times as I have and reading all these poems and things that I have said, it takes me back to a lot of those moments. It takes me back to a lot of those emotions, although some of them are just from connections and conversations I have with people. The ones that are personal to me just seem to always give me a new lesson as I read it and remind me of everything that I've been through. Because sometimes in life, you feel like you want to forget and erase memories that have been really hard on your heart. But that, and this is like a testimony of what I've been through and what I am able to overcome. And that's how I look at this book. Because there were things that I thought I wasn't going to be able to do. There's times that I doubted myself a lot. There's times when I had writer's block and I just felt like I couldn't push through it. And this is all a testimony of, you know, my strengths and just being able to go for it and also be calm with the process. You know what I mean? Like, I took my time. I didn't want to rush it. I've been working on it for a while. So I let it be free. So the process. So it didn't feel too overwhelming for myself. But yeah, it's definitely an ongoing learning experience when I talk about the book, especially if I dive into like poems that have a deeper meaning for me or that I personally went through. Everything has a lesson, and you know, not everybody may connect with the poems, but those who see it and who have been through it and perhaps felt alone will definitely find a home within my words and see that they're not the only ones.
So well said. I just love listening to you talk because you have a great way of articulating yourself. Not surprising because you're a writer, but that definitely translates into your oral messages as well. And you're so calm with this. You're so calm with this. It could be because
I'm laughing. Because I actually feel sometimes like I repeat myself the same way, or is just me being judgmental of my own vocabulary because English isn't my first language.
That's fair. I mean, I work with multilingual people when I'm like doing writing coaching and teaching and everything. So perhaps I have like a kind of more accepting spirit when it comes to people who speak multiple languages. But I find what I said is what I said, and I meant it. You know, like the articulation is great, and that's a wonderful thing that you could just like feel easy with that. So maybe take it a little bit easy on yourself. Like you're doing great, you're doing a good job, you know. And the more that you write, the more that you read, the more your vocabulary grows, and the more that you connect with other people. I'm sure even just in this book tour that you've been doing, that you've been picking up vocabulary from people about writing, about your work. That's just the way that it works. So anyway, this is just a description of the learning process, the brain's learning process. Learning through osmosis.
It really is.
I find that when I'm writing, especially in those moments of grief or loneliness or confusion, I had one of those early this morning and I just got to writing. There was like almost like two identities that existed within my brain when I'm like writing, especially in these moments of lack of clarity, of fogginess in my mind. Like there's the me that's asking the question and the me that's answering the question. I guess you can call it like your higher self. And when you're channeling, especially these things come through, you know, like it feels like that. So do you have that at all? And I want to know, as you're thinking about that answer, does it change for you, or did it change when you knew that you were writing for a specific product, not when you were just writing for your own sense of freedom?
Did what change specifically? Like that thought process of whenever you're asking yourself something?
The process of writing, how that very nuance, like the immediate feeling of writing, because it's different for everybody. And I think sometimes the project makes it different too. Like you think of an audience maybe, or did you have any specific kind of pressure when you were writing for the book rather than when you're just writing for your own free will?
That's interesting. I know that as a poet and just somebody that just wants to express emotions or thoughts from experience, I don't really think of the audience. I hope people that listen don't think this girl just don't even think of what audience she wants. But
I want to hear more about this. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but
I don't want to limit myself to a specific audience when it comes to poetry, when it comes to expression, because I feel like it doesn't matter what age you are. People go through different things, and unfortunately, some go through it younger, you know, at a younger age. Ultimately, it doesn't matter your age. I understand when it comes to, okay, well, maybe a guy is not going to read all this lovey-dovey poetry, but you never know. And why would I put a stop to that? So I want to express freely. I want to express for everybody. I don't want to limit myself to say, I have to write like this because this is what this people like, this is what this person likes. And that's, I feel like that's also what has suppressed so many beautiful artists and writers on Instagram, because, oh, the algorithm, or maybe people don't like to take as much time reading my long pieces and they like the shorter ones. Of course, I get it. Sometimes you have to tweak certain things. Sometimes you have to, you know, make it so it catches the attention of people, of course. But don't change your whole essence. Don't try to change entirely who you are as an artist, as a writer, whatever you do, just to please everybody. So I try to be authentic to myself. And I tell myself, I even have some affirmations on my phone that I want my page to reflect who I am without limitations. I don't want to be like everybody else whenever I do what I do. And there are times when I look actually, because everybody has those times where they question themselves on what they're doing and if they have to change based on what you see others doing. And I talk about this a lot because I know Instagram can be devastating for people that are creatives. So I told myself, I know I have poems. If you look at my page, I have poems, affirmations, it's just random quotes and then like a little picture here and there. And I was like, if this is who I am and this is how I like to express myself and I don't want to stick to just poems all the time, I'm happy with it, you know? So whenever I have those conversations with myself, just like you were talking about, I definitely get that whole, you have two different personalities talking to you. Sometimes I have my past self that's kind of telling me, girl, you better not go there. You know, like, why are you feeling this type of way? Or why are we bringing up this emotion? So emotions, again, coming back up. And I think a lot of people forget how important our emotions. And sometimes I have conversations with male friends or with my husband, and I talk about the importance of even guys when they grow up, how much they're told, okay, not to cry or not to be a crybaby. And it's devastating because they lack understanding of emotions. And some are so far gone that they think that expressing emotions or talking about emotions is a feminine trait. And that is not. And that is part of everybody.
Yeah. And even more than just it being a feminine trait, it's a trait of weakness. It's not just a feminine. You know what I mean? Like, because if mm-hmm. we look at the masculine, feminine energy, sure. I mean, we don't have to call it masculine and feminine. We can make up new words for that. And it'd still be two distinct type of energies. It's the acting and the doing versus the being and the feeling and the observing energy. But when we have this link between being, feeling, and observing and weakness, because we're not doing and acting and striving and creating or controlling, then we get this really devastating, as you said, dichotomy within somebody. That dichotomy exists within our, you know, the relationships we have with people outside of individuals, but it also exists within the individual because, as you also mentioned, we have these energies within us. We have these mm-hmm. yeah, emotions exist for a reason, man. And you know, when somebody... When you may ask like a guy or something, not all men, of course, but some guys you may ask like, you know, are you an emotional person? Oh, I'm not emotional. But then you see maybe they get, you know, they're kind of hot-headed. They get heated at certain things. They find things super funny.
Sensitive.
Right. You find things super funny, or somebody who's like really, really responsive. Like even I find that when you're really responsive, you know, like you tell somebody something or somebody passes by them and they're looking and someone, that's a sensitive person. That's an emotional person, somebody who finds things really funny, that's emotion. That's really emotion, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I think people are mm-hmm. just used to hearing emotion and thinking sadness, or you know, the ones that we consider lower vibrational emotions. But emotions exist mm-hmm. at every level of the spectrum, just depending on the intensity, and they become more intense when you don't nurture them, as I think you're talking about. Yeah,
right. And pay attention to them. I feel like a lot of deep-rooted issues within families, within couples, friendships, is because people are not taking the time to look and learn from these emotions, to understand what your friend love language, what do they like, you know, are you taking the time to understand them better, because that will help with your relationship.
Yeah.
And people just don't want to put that energy into it. And it comes down to knowing your emotions and expressing them. And that's the hardest thing for people, expressing. I've been there. Mm-hmm. I was the type of person that was just writing everything in my journal, I was not talking about it or posting it. That was literally my way. But I would not be able to bring myself to speak up about these emotions until I finally had to hit a couple rocks, you know, and understand the importance of me communicating. And voila, it's like, relationships are better, friendships are better, everything is better. I'm not scared of telling you what I don't like. Mm-hmm. I will for sure take in consideration how you may feel, and you know, if I have to tweak my words, because you know, you can't talk to everybody the same,
right?
But I'm no longer limiting myself and putting myself in a little box because, oh yeah, I don't want to say that, or I'm gonna hurt their feelings. It's I need to put myself first.
Yeah.
And that all comes with, you know, those conversations that you have. So yeah, whenever, to go back to that question, when I write poems for this book, I feel like I'm still writing them based on how I feel. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'll go back, and if I have to change something, I do. But I don't specifically say, okay, I have to write this poem based on the fact that my audience is from 18 to 35.
No,
maybe
not
they want to connect with this. You know, like I write and I express it, and I make a connection. If I have to explain deeper, I do. But eventually, even if the person reading it hasn't gone through this, I feel like it still be beneficial that they're reading about it in whatever form. That's why I have like poems and I have proses, because in this process, it's pretty much just like a little thought on what I just my personal thinking, my personal perspective on attachment or love or change. Mm-hmm. So it gives people an opportunity to also like reflect on all the things besides the poems.
Start the thought for themselves as well. Yeah, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's not as deep as having to truly resonate with something. You just like the way that something's written. You just like the mm-hmm. act of having a book and sitting with a cup of tea or coffee and reading through the book, you know, and like, and if we add the social media component to it as well, it feels nice to have something physical from somebody that you connect with on a non-physical level, like through mm-hmm. Instagram. So I wanted to talk about Instagram and the writing community on Instagram, because ever since starting Wellspring Words, I started getting more into the writing community, as you can imagine. And I see, mm-hmm. but I come from a world of long form writing, like longer poetry pieces, longer prose pieces, longer narrative pieces. And so when I see a lot of the short form pieces, it really does make me want to dive deeper. Like I want to know, who is the person behind these words, especially if the lines are just, if they're just three lines. And then it makes it even more confusing when I see it has like 15,000 likes. I'm like, wow, I just had to remove all of the, I had to hide all of the like counts and everything on my pages, because it was really confusing me. Like I would find myself liking things I didn't genuinely like because I had a lot of likes. So I had to hide all of that so I could really focus on what I'm reading, what, especially when I'm searching for new writers or just genuinely wanting to connect with other writers. Mm-hmm. Because what am I reading? What is the essence? Does this seem like, and I'm not, you know, the world's biggest judge, but does this seem like it's coming from this person and the depth of their, of what they seem to be thinking or feeling, or does it feel like it's a, you know, kind of a copy of other people's rhetoric and their writing and their style? And a lot of it feels like that. And I think that has to do with the lowering attention spans of us as consumers. It's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And the more that we continue to write really short pieces and share them that way, I find, and it could be controversial, but sometimes I find that it's like performing depth, but not actually being meaningful. Like it's not actually showing that there is meaning behind some of these shorter pieces, and some of them lead to longer things, and it's and it makes sense. Some people continue in their comments, or they write a caption that really helps us understand where they're coming from. But a lot of them, and there are tons of pages, tons. It's like a new one comes out every single day. I wish I knew more. I wish there was a face behind it. If not, there's not a face, that's fine. But five words on a square. I don't know. I want more as a consumer of that type of material. So what do you think about all of this as someone who writes short poems yourself and, you know, someone who has this book that has short form poem, poetry and short form prose?
Right. Like I was saying earlier about how Instagram kind of makes people change, and how I have come across other writers that, you know, have said to me, I'm not getting enough likes, or like people don't care about my longer pieces, they don't really stop to read them. And it's really sad, because, or whenever I see fellow writers say things on their story like, will you like longer pieces, will you like shorter pieces, and I remember responding to some of them and saying, girl, you better write what the fuck you want to write. Like, why are you asking anybody what they want to read? Like, just stay true to what you feel. And if it's a longer piece, then it's a longer piece. If it's a shorter piece, then it's a shorter piece. Because I know I have shorter pieces that I have posted before. They're part of longer poems that I don't want to post the entire poem, because those are going to be for other books. So that's my reasoning behind some of my shorter poems, because sometimes I write them and I'm like, oh, this shit got the fire. I don't want to go with a longer poem.
Yeah.
I want to like put it on this book. So sometimes I do that. And I do have longer poems that are really long, that even though I post them, I say, you know, this is just like the three first stanzas to a longer piece. But I feel like I tend to be such an impulsive writer. Like I have to write when it comes to me, and I have to drop it down somewhere. That's why when I'm at work, I have like 5-6 little sticky notes with little ideas that then I develop into longer poems. And this particular book does have smaller pieces, and it has a few longer ones as well. But yeah, I think most of them are kind of, they're definitely more than 4 to 5 lines. Only a few are shorter, and those are either like in an advice type of form piece. They're not really poems that are long, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, but I don't want you to feel like you have to defend shorter poems, because some, some of them are like, they hit, you know, and they that form is perfect for that message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's what I come across. Like there are times where I do want to write longer, but then like the essence is captured so well within those couple of lines, and I'm like, well, if I start messing with it, I might just completely lose it. But it's funny though, because I looked at my second book that I have been, which has been on the making for longer than this first book, and I haven't looked at it in a while because all the time I've been putting it to this one. But I'm like, whoa, since when I was writing this long poems? Like the whole book is pretty much long poems. And those are I don't want to say they're the best, but honestly, because you're just writing, it just comes to your mind, you're spending all this emotion, you're doing it as it is. And a lot of people often tell me, because I don't post all of my, I don't want to call it impulsive writing, but sometimes you're just feeling something, just write. And it feels more like a diary type of thing. But
yeah, I know
a lot of people tell me, you know, you should post these more. And sometimes I do. Sometimes they're more personal. So I live in the journal. But yeah, I get you, though, with a whole bunch of likes and being short pieces. And you just, because I've seen that a lot, and it's a lot the same. I'm not even going to lie. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, OK, I've seen this kind of on another page, or like with the same kind of wording. And it keeps you away from really looking at people who are writing so beautifully.
Yeah.
And they may just have like 10 followers, and you just, it's just a whole mess.
Yeah. Social media has really made it that way. It's made it easy for people to get inspired, but in that same vein, for people to become like unmotivated to be creative in their own way. You know, like be copycats in a sense. And I have another episode in this season where I will be talking about, and you know, at this point, when are things going to be published? Who knows the order of stuff, but I already recorded that one where we talk about creativity and like that fine line between being inspired and copying somebody's work. And it's a fine line, but the person who I interviewed in that episode, it's like, it's fine. Yeah. But it's also pretty obvious. It's like an obvious fine line that's right there, and you know when you're crossing you know when you're getting close to that, and you know when you're copying someone's work.
There's no way. Yeah,
they, like, you've been too inspired.
Like I talked about this with my friend, because she had people copy like her lines or use certain lines that are just unique to what her writing
style.
And she has sort of confronted them. And I'm like, God forbid, I don't ever want to come across anything like this, because I tend to be too nice. But like you said, it's such an important topic, because there's a difference between feeling inspired by the theme or topic behind a poem and saying, oh, I would like to write something like that, also shorter.
Yeah.
But then to take the whole thing is completely different. And even I don't want to say I get upset, but because I love talking about healing and just personal reflections and higher self and spirituality and anything, there's, I don't want to say so played out at times with so many pages doing the same thing, that also motivates me to keep being more authentic,
yes,
to keep being more like me, to keep putting more content that's me, because I feel like a lot of pages are out now. They're just copying other pages and they're the same freaking thing. And it kind of irks me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, do you feel these emotions? Like, have you really dug into yourself? Have you really reflected like that? Or are you just following what sounds good? Right. Yeah. Or are you just going with the crowd and seeing how all this short quote pages are doing things and posting the same stuff and kind of rewarding it? It kind of bothers me for people that truly connect with themselves and are trying to do something with their emotions and express it, so other people understand that they're not alone and that it's okay to feel this type of emotions. For me to see a whole bunch of different pages that just copy, like what are we doing here?
Well, we know the difference between what feels authentic and what doesn't feel authentic. We know, as human beings, even though we're like robots when we're on social media, especially for a long time, we do know when someone is being inauthentic with the way that they're showing off their content. And even if we are fooled by whoever is being inauthentic, they know they're not being authentic. And they're the ones who suffer from being inauthentic, because when you're not in alignment with yourself, when you're living out of authenticity, things do not work well in life. Things do not work smoothly. We know that from our own experiences. And now with more knowledge and with more maturity and with more self-reflection on our sides, we can see that. I'm sure that it happens for you too. But for me, I can easily intuit when something is not going to go right. I can easily intuit, okay, if I'm at a crossroads, if I make, or a fork in the road or something, if I make this choice, the more inauthentic, I know what's going to happen. I know what trajectory I'm going to follow if I go down that route. And I know that if I make this choice, which doesn't seem like the sexier choice at the moment, it is what's more authentic for me. I know that I'm going to be easy at the end of the day. So that's the thing. When someone is copying another person's work or doesn't actually take the time to do the work themselves to find their own unique, authentic voice and authentic expression, then suffering is kind of a strong word, but in some way you do suffer because you haven't done it for yourself and it doesn't feel like it's coming from you. It doesn't feel like it's real.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And those pages that post stuff that feels like it's kind of regurgitated from other pages, other people read it and they feel some healing from it. And that's a good thing, I guess. So that's just the optimist in me coming through. You know, I don't think it's nice to copy people's work. I don't think it's nice to not have your own voice, but you know, everything kind of just balances out at the end of the day. And the sustainability comes when you have your authentic expression, and seems that you're doing that. And I love that you really, like, you're very intentional about your work and you're intentional about your process, and you know exactly why you're doing something and what you're doing it for. So that's quite refreshing and inspiring for me as a writer as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Noya. I understand. I like I said again, I have been, as a writer, I have been through a lot of those emotions, a lot of those feelings. But the more I grow, the more I look at my page, the more I'm like, hey, if I'm just a random person who likes to post a quote and have this color with it and kind of make this look like that and then have a poem, then so be it. It's who I am. Somebody's going to like it. And even if they don't, I feel the best when I post things that are important to me. And that's where I actually see the best responses, because I don't like posting to post. That's something that I honestly used to do before. I was like, I got to keep up with this algorithm. I have to post like 5 different things every day. And it did not feel authentic. It did not feel good, because I want to post something that's deep rooted, and not even if it is deep rooted, but that is meaningful to me, that even if I don't make a whole long caption with it, I know that it was authentic and it was felt, and I wanted to post it, not because I feel like I have to post it to keep up with Instagram.
Oh man, it's wild to me. I feel like I can talk about Instagram or social media and the impact of social media on every episode, because even though I'm touching on different things in every episode, it feels like social media has a role in everything, in the ways that we see ourselves, the ways that we interact with ourselves and other people, and our healing journeys, especially the healing journeys, or the, you know, sometimes I like to give the word healing a break for a while and use like the term, like, I don't know, joyful journey or something, like journey back to joy, or so, I don't know, something like that. it is wild how social media is just co-opting our mental space and our creative space. We just have to be mindful of it, you know, like especially as people who channel our messages through creative means, or who feel like that emotional level and actually, what am I trying to say? Like use our emotions to get to something rather than, you know, just feeling the emotions and letting them be there, which is totally valid as well. Like that's another, but when you're actually using your emotions to write or to create some sort of art piece or to fuel a discussion or to fuel something happening in the community, like we need to always, I think, come back to ourselves and remember that whatever's happening in the online sphere is not the reality that exists within our hearts necessarily.
And a lot of like look, we could go on and on about this thing because there's so many layers to it, to be honest, and that's why social media breaks are great. That's why taking a step back to question your why, which is something that I believe is really important. Why am I doing this? Why did I start in the first place? And what does it truly mean to me? It's important. I've done it. I looked at taking a couple steps back and say, what is this page? What does it mean to me? Why did I start it for the first time? Hold on to that. Everything else will make you doubt it or lose confidence or question whether you need to constantly change something.
And if nothing else in the end, nothing really matters anyway. We're just creating the lives that we want to live. So create the life that you want. And it's not that deep, my friend. Like it's deep, but it's not that deep. Like it's the most important thing, this life. But at the end of the day, it's for the birds. It's like life is a pot of beans. At the end, you just have to make it what you want. Don't burn the pot of beans. Hopefully don't burn the pot of beans. Don't burn the kitchen down. Yeah, very interesting. I mean, like this conversation is one that has been about obviously writing, obviously your book, but I really wanted to sort of get in your mind as a writer, because as someone who writes myself but also works with writers a lot, I'm so interested in the psyche, because that is what's coming out on the page. It's just coming out in different ways. Like you can have one experience in your life and write about it in myriad ways because of just the perception itself, right? Or the angle that you choose to look at it. And I think that's what makes writing so interesting for me and why I love talking to other writers and hearing about their experience. That's another thing. When on social media, another tip, if anyone was looking for tips, unsolicited tips, maybe try connecting with people like in a deeper way. You know, I found a lot of pleasure myself from actually reaching out to people whose pages I admire and telling them that I admire their pages or admire their work or whatever, and the specific reason why. And it's beautiful to be able to connect with people like that. It reminds me of the olden days. I used to be in love with AIM and like, you know, AOL chat rooms and stuff where I would just get to know virtual reality for the win.
Oh my goodness.
You know, but at this point I would love to have you read a few of your poems if you'd be interested in that, so people can have a taste of what we've been chatting about this episode.
Yeah, of course. So like always, I pick several ones and I tell you
what should I choose.
Ones you have it right. So we'll start from the sour. I have one that's called Caught, I have one that's called In the Dark, and I have one that's called You Were Never Mine.
I want to hear Caught, and then I want to hear You Were Never Mine.
All right, so we'll start with Caught. The idea of letting go certain memories hunts me like the moon hunts the sun. I am caught between the waves of your memory, and deep down, I want to be taken away. Letting go is not as easy as breathing. Although breathing can suffocate as you start to overthink. I am unsure if the memories are slipping away, or perhaps I am.
Wow, the ending of that one. I'm unsure if the memories are slipping away, or perhaps I am, as in perhaps I am slipping away?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I love the imagery there. Well
done.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for waves, moon, sky,
nature. They get you in the mood, they get you in the zone. I feel you.
I know, I can never not use it.
Okay, let's hear the next one.
So You Were Never Mine. Okay, here you go. And this one, I wrote it like a prose. The tide is coming tomorrow, and I feel the atmosphere of my body changing. Like a lightning ball, the idea of seeing you leave strikes my heart with rage. As I stand by the shore, I hear the waves crashing, telling me it's time to let go of what, after all, was never mine. I shake my head and look at the sky, wondering why I always end up here, alone, stuck, and vulnerable.
See, this is one of the pieces where you get somebody hooked, right? And you leave them on that last word, vulnerable, and then they just have to turn the page and be left vulnerable.
Yep. You're like, yeah, I ain't gonna dig deeper.
Oh wow, I feel like that one could be developed into. I mean, like, it's so deep, right? Like, it's so deep and so. Is the word abstract? It's not clear, obviously. It's very ambiguous. We don't know what you're talking about, who you're talking about, what's the situation, but you're talking just about the emotion, the feeling. And mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, usually in the way that we know it, doesn't lend very well to long form books like novels, because it's like, I don't know what we're talking about the whole thing, but I feel like whatever happened in that experience could probably be a longer story or something like that, because mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You could make anything that way, but yeah, that's what, as a listener, as a reader, as a consumer, that's where my mind goes when I finish reading that. All to say that it's well done and it hit me in some way.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty much just like you said, that emotion of perhaps just having something for a short time, knowing it's not going to be there. It's not something you can deal with. It could be anything again. Mm-hmm. So that's that emotion.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Did you, and this is from The Sour, right?
These ones from The Sour, yeah. The chapter, The Sour.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's round off with something a little bit sweet on our tongue. The aftertaste. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so from the C section, I have Men Want to Be Loved Too, Comfortable My Own Skin, and Perseverance.
Okay, let's do the first two. Men Want to Be Loved Too and Comfortable My Own Skin.
So Men Want to Be Loved Too. It goes like this. Men want to be loved the same way women do. It may be hard to notice as their thick layers do not allow vulnerability to show. Their instincts get in the way and their emotions become prey. Their minds tell them loving is a weakness that will take away their strength, becoming weaklings instead. Although they crave love, I wonder how long they'll keep up with the front. Behind all the layers lies a heart the ocean cannot measure. Dear men who want to be loved, let me love you like the ocean loves the coast, with an abundance of care that nourishes the soul and never leaves you waiting when you need water to grow.
That's beautiful. That really is beautiful. I love the, because, and I know I'm giving my commentary after everything, like, just thank you for
I love it. Go ahead.
This is what I would do if you know, I had your book in a book club. I'd be like, I would take, you know, a section of poems or one poem or one piece or whatever, and then we'll discuss what comes to mind for it. I mean, that's the way I like to engage with words. But I love the attention that you're paying to the male species, because it's very easy for us as women, as women of color, as Black women, to get into a place of kind of dogging men, not because it's not deserved sometimes. Sometimes it feels like it is deserved, right? But it's never just black or white. There's always more to the story. And I know that we were talking about this a little bit earlier when it came mm-hmm. to men and their emotions and what we've experienced or seen. And yeah, I think it's refreshing that you're offering that space to say, I want to love you. I want to hold you. I want to treat you in the way that I treat myself and the way that I treat my sisters, the other women in my life, because you're a human and you deserve that. And I see you and mm-hmm. I want to, you know, hold that space for you. Right. So yeah, I think that's beautiful. I wonder how your husband feels about, like, that's the first thing that came to mind, right? Because you're married and yeah, you have other men in your life too. But the first thing that came to mind for me is like, how does your husband feel about potentially being lumped into this group of men who want to be loved too, that don't receive the love that women receive?
Right. I discussed several poems with him, and I think it's important because sometimes men are scared of being loved because they never have been loved that way.
Yeah.
Or they just obviously afraid of being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't allow people to really love them the way they deserve, or they don't think they deserve to be loved that way.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to discuss love in men as well, and learning how to love them, because, you know, loving a female friend, loving, like, if you had a female partner, that's just a different type of love. And we know men are manly and they have their characteristics and their traits or whatever.
And their conditioning.
They're not, right.
Yeah.
So they're not all going to be one to be loved the same way. So we got to put in the work and also let them know, you know, I got you. Like, yeah. It's okay. Right.
That's nice. I love that. And the next one was comfortable in my own skin.
Comfortable in my own skin. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and read this one for you. Once again, the title is Comfortable in My Own Skin. And it goes like this. As I stare into the mirror, I let my fingers run from our curly crown down the line that separates my lips and onto my curvy hips. I close my eyes, embracing the comfort in my skin as I fall in love with every inch of me. Intrigued by the color of my soul, I dig deeper to discover a realm of self-love, a world where I am the one in control, a world where I am in within my energy, letting it flow. I listen to the sound of my heart as it calls my name. She has been waiting so long for me to find myself. This comfort I feel goes beyond this world. I own this temple. It is my home.
I felt that one. That was beautiful. I don't really have much commentary on this one. You know, I just find it to be beautiful. And I think a lot of people will be able to see themselves in that. And especially, okay, I guess I have commentary. Fine. Another Black woman, another woman of color, mm-hmm. when you see another one of you loving themselves and appreciating themselves and coming home to themselves, it is this unspoken permission that you can do the same. I have felt it. I know it's true. Mm-hmm. I have seen it. I've spoken about it with my friends, my associates, my colleagues, whatever. And it just feels so good. So thank you. Like, sincerely, mm-hmm. I just feel so thankful that you're doing this work and sharing. And then for us to have been connected in this way, it feels really, really meaningful. Thank you for everything, girl.
I need your commentary, like every single thing I do in my life. Right?
Yeah. With me. I know, right? A little pocket cam. No, I have this way of
I know, really, right? Like,
giving people the kind of like commentary that makes them feel like they can be motivated. So I'm happy to do it.
No, honestly, thank you. I mean, and even if I was to read a poem that, you know, got you to a different type of way, you want to like give me some questions or challenge me, I still appreciate it. This is what it is about.
Right.
You know, there's some things that you may not obviously relate with. There's some things that you may need a couple answers to truly understand. So I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. A pleasure. It's difficult with poetry, though, giving people commentary. Because when I used to work at NYU and people would come in with their poetry or their creative projects, it's hard to know how to support them. And support is really the key word there. Not fix, not help. It's like, I need to support you in you delivering the message that you want to deliver. So what's the message that you want to deliver? What's the language that we can use to get you there, rather than, I don't understand this, change this, because then that makes me your audience. But when you're writing poetry, you're usually writing for yourself. So yeah, I get what you're saying. And I'm glad that you trust me enough to accept feedback if I ever have any.
No, honestly, I do.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Where can people order your book?
So if anybody just wants to go straight into Google, they can type Diana Alejandrina and my page will come up, as well as my webpage where I have the pre-orders for Agridulce. I am on Instagram as Diana Alejandrina as well. I'm sure that if whenever you put it out there, if you put it on your page, you can tag me. DHAYANALEJANDRINA. Yeah, that would be the handle.
Cool.
I have, you know, all my poetry and work out there. And then you can click on the link in the bio and then you can also pre-order the book on the release date is there. I will also add all the links to the link tree for people to be able to order from anywhere in the world. The book will also be in Barnes and Nobles if people want to purchase a copy. So
that's super exciting. Where's the enthusiasm in the voice? Like, Barnes and Nobles is a staple.
I know. I said that I was going to show up at Barnes and Nobles and take a selfie.
Yes, do it. That's fun. Amazing. Congratulations again, and thank you for sharing your heart and your mind with us in this episode. And thank you everyone for listening, and for tuning in. And hopefully you got to enjoy this episode. It's heavy on the writing mind in this one, but I think that there's still some stuff to catch. So thanks again. And if you want to stay connected with us, you can do so via Instagram at Wellspring Words. You can also send us an email at bewell@wellspringwords.love. You can connect with me personally at naturallyfree123. And I just publish my website where you have my writing and all my services and stuff. It is www.bynkem.co. So have a look and yeah, keep in touch and share this episode with a friend. Review, rate, and subscribe and follow and all that goody, good, good stuff. Otherwise, we'll catch you in the next episode. Talk to you later. Thanks a lot. Bye.